Hello, my friends. This is Bishop Campbell welcoming you again to a short meditation on the theme of living the Catholic life. It's an extraordinary privilege as well as happenstance that I'm addressing you on Christmas Eve this year. And as I considered what I was going to speak to you about on this marvelous time of the year, my mind almost entirely focused on some of the childhood memories I have of this day. Perhaps some of you who may be as old as I am remember that Christmas Eve was once a day of fasting and abstinence, which was true about many of the vigil days of major feast days throughout the year. The house was still bare of any Christmas decoration outside of a few Christmas cards that we had received, and the only decorations in the house were the Advent wreath and the candles that were rather rapidly burning down. I do remember those evening meals we had on Christmas Eve, where all four Advent candles were lit, and we had a special menu on that day. First of all, I remember the opłatek. Now, that's a Polish tradition, and my mother came from a Polish background. The opłatek was made out of the same flour and water that the hosts were made of that were used at Mass. But on the opłatek was generally impressed a scene of the Nativity. And we would begin our Christmas evening meal by breaking up parts of the opłatek and passing them around. There would be a simple soup, usually my mother's marvelous potato soup. There would be a salad, home-baked bread. And then for dessert, we would always have vanilla ice cream and strawberries as a sign of the innocence of Christ and the shedding of his blood. And then after the meal, we waited in great excitement for Christmas to begin, and we'd realize we were going to have to force ourselves to go to sleep throughout the day. But then I remember waking up on Christmas Day and all the waiting and preparation of Advent was coming to its complete fulfillment. And there was this extraordinary transformation of the house while we slept. And when we woke up to lights and color. The Christmas tree was up. Everything under it was so marvelous, especially that model train set that we would that was put around the tree. The presents wrapped up. The wonderful smell of the Christmas Day breakfast that my mother was sharing. The one thing that I didn't clearly understand is why my mother and father were always so tired on Christmas Day, that we were just filled with so much excitement. But it was not only the decorations and the presents. And as you know, children are great observers, but sometimes very poor interpreters. And it's only in remembering those well-observed experiences of childhood and considering them as an adult that we began to understand a little deeper meaning to their reality. We woke up to lights and color. But as I grew up, I began to remember very clearly that beginning of the prophecy of Isaiah that is now the first reading of the Christmas Mass during the night. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And all of those decorations, all of the color of Christmas that came upon us really so suddenly, it was like a burst of new reality. we began to understand what the birth of Jesus Christ brought into this world and why there is such a shout of joy to celebrate this day. Very recently, I read a piece that was written by Monsignor Ronald Knox. Many of you may remember that name. He was known for his great teaching, for his preaching. He was known also for being a translator of the entire Bible into what he hoped would be a modern but elegant English. But he was asked to write a message that was broadcast over the British Broadcasting Company in relationship to Christmas. And what he wrote about was in answer to a question that he asked himself and he asked his listeners. What if Christmas had never happened? What occurred because of that feast? And looking at directly at that question, put into context that gospel or that prophetic reading from Isaiah, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. What has changed with the dawning of that great light? I think also of something I read very early on in my adolescence, a line that came from one of C.S. Lewis's Narnia Chronicles, in which he described Narnia before the coming of Aslan as always winter and never Christmas. And that dawning of the great light, of course, as it normally comes to us in the darkest time of the year, I should mention in the Northern Hemisphere, proved to be something that powerfully changed the whole way that human persons live before God and among each other. Looking back over the past 2,000 years, we can now see what at the time of Christ's birth was understood by so few. So let me mention some items that would be important for us to dwell upon as we celebrate the great feast of Christmas. Because this represents the birth of Jesus Christ in our human flesh. And the incarnation forever changed our conception of the human person and his destiny. First of all, God was announced as Emmanuel. God is with us. And he's with us, not only present to us, he became like us in all things but sin. And with the realization that through our Christmas celebration, we come to know God is with us, means that no one is ever alone or unwanted. That every human person, created body and soul, is one that is destined by God for life and destined by God for a particular vocation. And another aspect of it is our slow sense of our social relationships. Jesus was born into a world of profoundly rigid class structures. In fact, at the time that Jesus was born, probably 10% of the population of the Roman Empire were slaves. Another 5 to 10% were immensely wealthy. The others could, in fact, get along fairly well, more or less. But for many, many people, even for those who were freemen, there was a hard scrabble life. But that rigid structure kept people greatly divided. And here, with the coming of Christ, was announced an entirely new sense of how people relate to each other. may relate to each other as equals and as brothers and sisters. That every human person has a dignity given and guaranteed by God and established for all time in Jesus Christ coming among us. So the way that we treat others, in spite of particular divisions within our social structures, every human person, no matter where they are, rich, poor, all have a profound dignity that must be respected. And from this flowed an extraordinary happenstance in our human history, although it took even some Christians a long time to accept. That is the elimination of slavery and a realization that no human person can own another. The human person is not property, but a human person is made in the image and likeness of God. And the last part of this great gift coming to us from the birth of Jesus Christ is a realization that we have a destiny to everlasting life. And in every moment of our existence, we are touched by a divine reality. For as the church fathers used to say, what Jesus assumed, he transformed. And Jesus was an infant in the womb, an infant, a young child, an adolescent, young adult, a mature adult. And at any stage, the very presence of Jesus Christ in our human flesh changed the reality of that moment in our human development. And at every moment, what Jesus has transformed, he has transformed for everlasting life. For in Jesus Christ, we know that God is a God of life, not of death. And as the old Christmas carol in Dulce Jubilo said, in Christ has come for this. And Christ has come for this.